This recording is for the regular meeting of the Board of Education of the Emory County School District, held on Wednesday, September 3rd, 2008, at Castledale Elementary School in Castledale, Utah. Conducting the meeting will be Laurel Johansson, Board President.
We can begin. We'd like to welcome you all to our board meeting tonight. Glad that you're here. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. You all please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item are the consent, the warrants, the minutes, the financial reports for August, the consent agenda. Are there any questions on those that haven't been answered? Okay, then a motion is in order.
I would make a motion we accept them as we have received them.
Okay. Sure.
I'll second that.
All in favor? Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have a request for family or medical leave.
Yeah, we have two requests, actually, for family medical leave, both of them for maternity reasons, is my understanding. We have a request from Danielle Tuttle, who is requesting, and of course, the beginning date can vary, but October 27th through January 5th, Barbara Barnett, September 15th to October 27th. So I'm recommending the board approve the family medical leave for those two employees.
Okay.
I would make a motion that we approve it as you have given it to us.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. And then approval of high school athletic schedules that we have in our
I tend to use the schedules that we have currently. Gwen put them together. We have, as I recall, we have football, we have volleyball, we also have, I think, Green River basketball going. Some of the schedules haven't been put together. We have Emory High football, volleyball, and tennis. We have cross country also, and we have Green River basketball and volleyball and baseball. We don't have the other schedules yet, still being worked on. But as you know, the board has to approve any travel over 150 miles. What we've opted to do is have you look over the schedule and just approve the schedule. And we don't see anything extraordinary in the schedule. It's pretty much the same schedule we've had in the past. I will indicate, however, though, that the High School Activity Association, I think I'll also sent to you recommendation that went to the High School Activities Association on the 28th of August, and that's in relation to their request from the Superintendent's Association basically to limit some competition because of the cost of travel and the time out of school. Basically, with the 3A, that would be about about 14% reduction. It would reduce baseball by two games, basketball by two games, cross country by two meets, golf by two games, softball by two games, swimming, tennis, track by two, volleyball by two, wrestling by four, what they call credit, and feet moved by one. Now that's the 3A. 2A and 1A are a little bit more than that. Actually, they're only 17.14% reduction. And 4A, 5A, it's about a 3% reduction. They don't do a lot of travel. So that's just for your information. It has not been approved by the High School Activity Association, but it is being recommended. And I think that they will do something with that for next year, not this year. to reduce the number of games in order to cut down on the travel and also the time the students are out of school. But I'm recommending the board approve the schedules that have been presented as they've been presented. And while we're at it, I guess there is names for approval, but also attached to that was the coaching assignments that we currently have. There's still some blanks to fill in, they're still working on. So I guess with the schedules, I would ask the board to approve the coaching assignments also.
Any questions on that?
Now, those coaching assignments are those that we've received here?
Yes.
All of those.
But they're not all complete. There's still some coaching assignments that have not been filled yet. Still working on them. As currently, those are the ones that we have.
I'll make that motion. Kurt, but is there a way that the board could add a voice of unification for the recommendation of the superintendent in regards to that?
Yes. Yes, I could certainly prepare a letter from the board that Lyle could sign as board president to the High School Activity Association that would encourage them to approve the recommendations, if you like.
When will that be voted on by the High
School? I'm not sure. It was presented to them on August 28th, and I haven't heard the results of that. It won't be until the next school year, but they meet, I think, about every other month. They meet monthly. The board of directors.
Well, if the rest of the board feels the same way, I think it would be well if we had some kind of
understanding
that says we support that.
I think it would be wonderful. Okay, I'll do that.
Okay. We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have some personnel actions, names for approval.
Yeah, we have, I apologize because when you do cut and paste sometimes you fall up. But I did try to email each of you some corrections. I don't know if you were able to get them or not, but on my report that you have, that I gave to you tonight, we have several names that we need to have approved, new hires. We have Vicki Martineau as a 3-hour per day special ed educational assistant at Huntington Elementary School. Tammy Rowley, 19.5 hours per week special educational assistant at Canyon View. She's moving up there to take the place of one that left us there. Lisa Wynn, 3 hours per day educational assistant at Cleveland Elementary. Courtney Justice, 3 hours per day library educational assistant at Huntington Elementary. Shauna Carroll, 3 hours per day preschool educational assistant at Farron Elementary. Amber Pittman, 3 hours per day kindergarten educational assistant at Huntington Elementary. And that's it, we did the athletic coaches. We've had quite a turnover in our educational assistants this past year. And so we've had quite a few now. Two of these are new positions due to the extended day kindergarten programs that we added to our Title I schools from our K-3 reading initiative. So they're hired to assist with the extended day kindergarten. So those two kindergarten educational assistants, that's what those are. I'm recommending the board approve those names for hire.
Any questions on those?
I'll move that we approve.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have need an approval of bid for the air-cooled condensing unit at Spring River High School.
Put a summary of the bids that we got for this project. We had, I guess you call it bad luck, the cooling unit at Green River went out literally the week before school started, and so they've been getting by in the meantime, but it's something that we do need to fix. It's a fairly extensive project, but ended up coming in not nearly as much as we were thinking it could have, so we were happy with that. But we received 4 bids. Terry and his department compiled these bids for us, and the one that we would like to recommend for approval is the bid from U.S. Air Conditioning Distributors. It has a bid for materials and startup, with the total being $36,600. We also received bids from CHCS Contractors, MHI Service, and PMS Incorporated. All of those came in significantly higher, and and also did not have a fixed startup cost, which would probably add more to their bid. Carrie and I would be happy to answer any questions you have about the project, but we anticipate that once we award a bid, it'll take 5 to 6 weeks to get the units to the high school and get them installed, so it won't help with this.
Now, will they be in time for winter?
They'll be in time for winter, yeah.
Barely.
And hopefully for next summer and fall.
I had a question, Terry, on the old gym and the new gym both. It seems like the air conditioning in there is just crazy. You can hang meat in that new gym. It is cold.
And the reason that is because the principal, Mr. Johnson, has set that up to get it as cold as he can in the new gym to try to circulate it through the rest of the school.
But even when it's just on, it never shuts off.
And that's why we've got it running all the time.
But I mean, even before this ever happened, my kids were practicing there, and they just said it's just freezing. and then the other gym seems like it gets too hot, and then it gets too cold, and I don't know. I think those units seem to freeze up on that old gym. They have to put like.
We've looked into increasing the circulation through those old units in the old gym. I think that'll solve our problem there.
Okay.
The units on the roof are identical on the new gym and the old gym, so that the result should be identical as well. The only difference is the air handling unit, and I think the old air handling units on the old gym are not putting out enough air to handle the cooling that's in there.
Okay.
But I didn't know that there was a problem before this on the new gym. I didn't look into that.
Well, I talked to Nolan, and he said the same thing. He said that it just does not, they have no control over it whatsoever. You set it at 60 degrees, and it'll go down to 40 if it has. It'll just keep running. It just does not shut off. Maybe that was just that one day, but I can't imagine it's not a problem all the time.
I will look into it and see why.
Thank you.
Okay, so the bid that you suggested that we approve, tell me that again.
It's the first one.
U.S. Air Conditioning?
Okay.
U.S. Air Conditioning.
Yes, it is. I move that we approve.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Well, the next one's 10,000.
Okay, we have the superintendent's report.
Let me just share with you a couple of things. First of all, I have on my list for you enrollment as of day one, but I actually have an update September 2nd, but I didn't get you a copy of it.
Okay.
The one I sent to you had we had anticipated or we had projected a decline in enrollment of 17 students based on last spring's enrollment. We actually came in day one at a decline of 40 students. But since I sent you that report, we have picked up 16 students, so we're now down 24 students, which is a little closer to our estimate. So we actually right now are at 2,231 students as of September 2nd, which is a decline of 24 students district-wide. Actually, Bookcliff was the one surprised us. They're up 22 students. Again, our secondary schools are what continues to concern us, but we have that reverse bubble in the 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, and we're trying desperately to get those grade levels through the system without having to reduce staff there, because we recognize that by reducing staff, we're losing quality teachers, and then after 4 or 5 years, have to rehire again.
Yeah.
But it does put pressure on our staffing. There's no doubt about it. It does put pressure on our staffing where our elementaries are starting to grow slightly. So we're trying to watch that a little bit. But we did lose. We were down 46 students in the secondary school. And that will basically, next year with our sixth grades coming to junior high, it will start to move up, but not quickly enough to overcome the decline. So there'll still be some decline over the next few years in secondary schools. But then we hope after that 4 or 5 year period that we will begin to grow again based on the numbers we're getting in now. we hope that we'll see some increase in enrollment for a change. Tonight I gave you a sheet that has a 16 year enrollment. What I've done is I've taken the each school's enrollment beginning in 1993, which was our peak year. 1993, we had 3,429 students. That was our peak enrollment. Our enrollment as of September 2nd is 2,231, and it's been a continual decline, although it started to level off a little bit in about 2003 or 2004. But that's a loss of 1,198 students, or 35% of our student population since 1993. And you know the difficulties that's created and caused over the past 15 years. So I just thought I'd share that with you with the graph that shows our enrollment. Patsy, if you would like a copy of that, you're welcome to have one. Certainly share that with you for the newspaper. Is someone here from the other paper? I have a couple of them if you'd like that information. But it shows our 15-year enrollment.
I had a question, Kurt.
Yes, sir.
What's the cutoff for 3A and 2A?
Glenn, help me. I think it's 400.
499.
That's 3A.
So actually, we're in a 2A realm right now. At 468.
Yeah, they're just doing the realignment. They're going to keep us in 3A, knowing that we'll grow again. But the next realignment will be in 6 years, 4 years.
It'll be
Still, we're really below that threshold, but We're basically happy where we're at for now.
Okay.
If we would have really pushed the issue really, really hard, they may have moved us to 2A.
And they considered that.
But one of the things you have to consider is the travel, too.
That puts us with Manti and Richfield, a couple of years closer.
Right now, we have Manti, Richfield, Delta.
They're barely 3A.
North Vanity. Carbon is not in our region after this year. They're going with the Unibasin, Utah Valley area.
Who are we going to beat up on?
So, yeah, it does impact.
It's too bad that rivalry is so good.
I know.
Some of us still remember the old one, though.
It's still rivalry.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
You don't
remember. Yep.
Okay, any questions on that, enrollment? I think there's some optimism with elementary, but it's still kind of gloomy for our secondary schools, and it will be for another 3 or 4 years. But we're optimistic about our elementary. The problem is balancing the staffing with not reducing staff up here to try to get through the bubble, and then trying to add some staff to the elementary, and it's really a balancing act. It's hard and expensive, but we feel like that with the board's commitment to that, we hopefully get through unless something disastrous happens. There's a new state board rule that I sent you, and I'd like you to be thinking about it, and obviously our schools are going to have to look at it. It's concerning two things. We're required now to school board rule to cover vending machines in our schools, and also on other other foods that are sold at school outside the regular school lunch and breakfast program. I've got an extra word in there on. Right now, I don't think we have much choice. The state board came out with a rule. We'll probably need to try to match it, although it does not say we have to match their rule. It just says, basically, it's a rule that says we have to have rules locally, but it also says those rules may include the following, which is, originally it says shall, and the state board backed off and put may. And basically, it would restrict your vending sales and your food sales to would eliminate all foods of minimum nutritional value, and all of your soda drinks. It will be 100% fruit juice or water, and also many of your candied items, except those that have nuts and some other. But the rule is very specific on what constitutes minimal nutritional value, and it goes into calories and everything else. So my plan right now is to write some board rules for you to look at that really match the state board rules. But this is going to need some real discussion among our schools and our health department and others, and the board, on what you want to do there and how far you want to go with that, because it does, our secondary schools particularly do rely on some revenue there, and I don't know how it'll impact it. It will have some impact, but I'm not sure really how much.
Well, it looks like it would be a bookkeeping nightmare, too.
Yep. Part of that policy has to be an accounting procedure, which means that those reports will need to come to the district office on the amount of vending income and also how it's spent. As far as, you know, in the board rule, you have to identify what's appropriate and what's not appropriate expenditures of vending machine sales. So,
is that a little bit of micro management?
Yeah.
When I read through that, I just was appalled.
We can't put it in our pockets anymore?
We'll try to get as much input as we can on the principles on it, but we'll have to have something in place by January to the state board. They're coming right now.
So plain M&Ms are out, but peanut M&Ms.
It might be that way, yeah.
Almond M&Ms are my favorite.
And on a serious, you know,
it's going to be contraband.
On a serious note, the corner. This is a huge concern to secondary kids, school kids. But on the other hand, we do need to look at it responsibly. And childhood obesity and teenage obesity is a real problem. And nutrition is a real problem, and I think it's something that has to be addressed.
It includes faculty lounges.
It does not. It doesn't designate
really
between faculty and student. It says vending machines in the school. Doesn't mean you can't bring your Pepsi and put it in the refrigerator in the faculty room, but you can't have a vending machine, or you can't sell it.
Really? If you do, you better keep an accounting of it and get that account to
do it. It's amazing that we lived without them for so long. We didn't. I mean, we didn't have them in our school.
We had to bring our own candy to home. Well, to be honest, the state board rule is a result of trying to avoid legislation.
Yeah.
Because the legislature will write a bill that will require it, and so the state board is trying to get ahead of it.
Okay.
And they did make it permissive, but in reality, the expectation is that there will be some changes with vending and sales. It doesn't include after school. It doesn't include concession stands, but after school activities and that. But it does include any foods that are either in vending machines or sold out of the office or anywhere else during school hours.
Oh, but concession stands at like ball games can be
at night. It doesn't impact that. The board rule won't cover that.
No contraband there.
Okay, another thing that I want to make you aware of: the first day of school, there was a public meeting held in Price Carbon School District office concerning the governor's assessment panel and their recommendations on testing. I did send you some information on that. Basically, they are recommending that the state legislature do away with the end-of-year core test, the Iowa test, and the UBISCA test. That's the test the 10th graders take for graduate high school diplomas. Mm-hmm. The CRT, or the core test, is, of course, the test that the state gives to see how well the curriculum has been taught. It's the end-of-level test in language arts, math, science. That's it, reading. The Iowa test is your nationally normed test that we give in grades 3, 5, 8, and 11. And the UBISCA, of course, begins with your 10th graders, and they have 5 opportunities to pass it. And if they don't, then there's a notation on their diploma. Either way, there's a notation that says they either did or didn't pass all of the components. What they want to replace it with is what's called adaptive testing and almost all online testing. And what they're talking about adding is a K-12 reading, math, and science that's given 3 times a year on computers, a direct writing assessment for grades 4 through 12 3 times a year, an assessment for ELL students, that's English Language Learner, which we already do, so that's not new. A reading assessment that would be given in grades K through 12 using locally selected but state-approved assessments. A kindergarten assessment that's developed locally, which we already do. And then there's three other tests, the ACT, which we already give, but they're talking about using that, basically the same way, but they would require it of all students. Right now it's optional, although most of them take it. Then there's a test called Explore, which would be given in the 8th grade, and that's a test to assess students' preparedness for high school. There's a test called PLAN, P-L-A-N, which was given to 10th graders to measure what kind of coursework they really need to do before graduation to prepare for college. And then there's an ACCUPLACER, and that's a test given to 11th grade before they register for the senior year, and that's to determine, it's also to look at college placement, but also to determine their qualifications or to pre-qualify for admissions to concurrent enrollment and AP courses. And that's a big concern to me that I expressed there, because I think it's going to reduce the opportunities that our high school kids have to get college credit, and I don't think any one assessment is a good determiner of how successful a student will be in a college class. If they were to take my ACT, don't quote me in the papers last year. If they were to take my ACT scores, I probably would have never gone to college. But I think I did okay. Actually, I can't remember what my ACT scores were, but I don't think they were real high. But anyway, that's the governor's assessment panel recommendation. I can tell you this, that they will probably pick pieces of it to implement, but to implement the whole thing would require tens of millions of dollars in assessments, computers, I'm talking about statewide.
We'd have to have a 250-day school year.
That's
in order
what
to
I
have.
It also is an increase in testing, not a decrease. But the cost of computer labs to do online testing to that extent would be enormous. Now, I've got to tell you that this kind of testing is much more valuable. This kind of testing is more valuable. It provides data to teachers to how to help kids. It's not necessarily all summative, like the Iowa and the core test and UBISCET. To me, they're not near as valuable, but it does require more time, out of instructional time, and it requires a great deal of investment in technology to carry it off. The other thing is that I really have strong doubts that the U.S. Department of Education is going to approve it for No Child Left Behind. Mm-hmm. And so one of my fears is that we'll end up with two tracks of testing now, just like we have two tracks of accountability, one No Child Left Behind and one UPass. Both of them, one's a state and one's a federal, but we have to meet the guidelines of both now. When the state, when they first came out of UPass, intended that it take the place of No Child Left Behind or be accepted as our accountability plan. I fear that we'll end up with two tracks of testing, federal and state. So that's just a report. We'll see where it goes. It went back to the governor's panel. They did hold meetings out in the state, around the state. They're still working on it.
Could I interject something? There was an article in the Deseret News that said that Utah's third graders on the Iowa test, overall, the state placed third in the nation in reading. Mm-hmm. If I can get a copy of that, would you?
I haven't seen it, but they've done very well. And our students do extremely well. You have to know that in the 6 years of No Child Left Behind, we have never yet had a school in what's called program improvement. Mm-hmm. And very few school districts in the state can say that. And we are just extremely pleased. We will have a school occasionally that does not make AYP, but you have to understand that there are 45 components that you have to meet, targets that you have to meet in No Child Left Behind. And if you miss one of the 45, you don't make adequate yearly progress. So you have to understand that. They can make 44 out of 45, but if they're special ed math or they're special ed language arts and they don't meet that growth in the one area, then the whole school doesn't make AYP. But we have never yet had a school in program improvement. And I keep telling you it's going to catch up to us, because by 2013, No Child Left Behind says that every student will be proficient, which is a level 3 or 4 on the core test. And folks, that can't happen. Much as we'd like it to, it won't. There are too many special needs children that it affects. So eventually it'll catch up to all. But I'm really proud of our schools and what they're doing, our teachers and those who work with the students, because they have done an outstanding job.
On this panel, do they have like school and administrators, and they have a cross section?
The state superintendent is the chair of the panel. And then there are a couple of superintendents, there are business people, there are legislators.
Oh, no.
We have 4 or 5 legislators. Okay. Again, I don't think that their whole program will be adopted, and I don't think I think when the legislature looks at the price tag, they'll probably just laugh at it anyway. But I think some components of it may be implemented, especially at the secondary level. With the Explore Plan, Accuplacer, some of those, I think you may see those adopted. When we met last, we talked about ELL Family Literacy Center, and I told you that I doubted very much we would submit a plan, because the amount of money and what it would require to set it up, we just didn't know if we could do it or not. We had a plan written at that time, but we didn't know how to implement it. Well, we went ahead and submitted it anyway. We revised it, we changed it from what initially that we had given to you. The plan right now is to set up, this is an English language learner family literacy center. The legislature did appropriate money to school districts to establish this, but it will require us to use some other funding to try to implement it initially. We will set up a family literacy center at Huntington Elementary School and hopefully at Bookcliff Elementary School, where our Hispanic population is. The purpose of those family literacy centers initially will be to help students with homework. And then it will expand from there to language development. We're looking for computer software, some programs that will help both students and parents with English language development skills, and also to help to communicate to non-English speaking parents what's going on at the school. Some of the bulletins that go home from school to help interpret it for them, but we're beginning right now to set Huntington Elementary's up. And I guess another name that I need to have you approve, right now we have Laura Blackwell, who's working at Huntington Elementary. We're going to expand her hours so that she'll be at 30 hours a week, and 12 of those hours she will be doing after school family literacy center at Huntington Elementary, starting I think the 15th of this month. We don't know how it's going to work. We'll see. We're going then to once we get that going, we're going to try to find someone in Green River to set one up at Bookcliff Elementary. We'll be in a computer lab, I think, so we have access to computers. But we hope it'll be a benefit to our English language learner population. And I got to tell you, when we had 5 minutes left to submit the plan online. And I held my finger over the button, and we all, about 4 of us, stood there and looked at each other and said, "Do we or don't we?" Since Jed's over the program, I looked at him and said, "Okay, Jed, what?" And he says, "Push the button." So we sent it. But it hasn't been approved. But it's a good thing. It's just going to be, we're going to have to see how it works as far as funding and how much it's used.
So you need a motion to expand her hours?
Yes, we need a motion to expand, to approve her as our family literacy facilitator at Huntington Elementary for English Language Learning Center.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
The other thing I have is there's the USBA regional meeting is October 2nd.
Yeah.
I don't know if you got that in the mail.
Did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. 6 o'clock at Carbon District office. And I think that's all I have. We do have a quote from you.
Okay, well, thank you. We will. Business administrator's report.
Just one thing, so that you're aware that lighting project in the auditorium at Emory High is going on right now. The contractor's been down for a week and a half now, and from what we hear, he's finishing up this weekend, hopefully, so a week earlier than scheduled. Dunbuck Carey was over there today, and they've been doing good work. We had our inspector look it over today, and everything looks good thus far. This was a project that we approved a couple months ago, I think, in board meeting, so it should be really good for that facility.
That's all you have? Okay, we'll turn some time for the principal's report.
It's already on here.
Yeah.
No, I can't do anything. It's not on here.
It's not on here. Well, we'll slide to the end.
I don't have to say it.
Off the hook.
But I guess that's probably what Jed came up and reminded me about.
No.
Just want to welcome you to our school, and we do appreciate the support that we get from the board. Really appreciate the support we get from the district office. Never had an opportunity to call over there, but what either the superintendent or Jed have been more than willing to take the time and talk to me, explain things, you know, I just really appreciate the support that they have. Another thing that I just really appreciate is my new office. You need to stop and look at it. I can go in and turn around and still have the back out now. But we have one new teacher here this year. We're excited to have her. She's Mrs. Roseanne Dawes, and she's done a fantastic job. And with the exception of her and the one that you approved for maternity family leave, we have a very mature faculty. But that hasn't slowed them down at all. They really get in and learn new ideas. We're in the process of using for the first year a new math program, and some of our teachers are spending many hours in addition to what they normally spend preparing for this new math program. Now, it's time consuming to put in any new program, but this particular one is even more time consuming. But these mature teachers have buckled up, and they are tackling this task head on. I really appreciate the effort that they're doing, because it is a good program, but it takes the teachers to implement it.
So Ralph spends a lot of time on it too. He's
our
chairman.
I'm sure.
Well, that's why I know that it's going to take a lot of time, because it's not a typical math program. It does take a lot of extra preparation, and to be quite frankly, the first little while, it's going to be a struggle with students. But after a while, they're going to catch on to the new system and the new program, and it's going to be a better program overall. But my point is that even though we have a mature faculty,
what do you mean by that?
I mean, there are any.
They're all younger than you.
Superintendent and I are just a year apart in age, so we know that all about the rivalry between us and Richfield, and we never even knew Carbon existed when we was in high school. So, anyway, yes, they're our age. We're some of them a little bit older. But anyway, we
are working in conjunction with Mrs. Whittleton, the high school. Have been doing this for several years. She brings some of her struggling leaders down to read with some of our younger grades. It really helps her students, but it also is reciprocal and helps our students. She uses that the two quarters a year. The first quarter she'll read with our second graders, and then the second quarter is the first graders. But, you know, they will treat a little better than she reads with the second graders and the first graders. And this is a very beneficial thing that she is. It's her that has put the program together, but it is very beneficial to us. All of our rooms are equipped with smart board and audio enhanced systems, and most of our teachers are using them. We do have some that are struggling with technology, so they struggle a little bit with the smart board. We are a team. We have teachers that help one another. They give new ideas and learn something new. They're more than willing to share with the other faculty. And we have a very good PTA. We have a lot of support from the PTA. You had mentioned earlier that some of the problems we have is not enough parent involvement, but we do have a lot of parent involvement. I mean, the younger grades, as they get a little bit older, you just kind of watch a lot of involvement first and second, then by the time you get to six, very few parents. I think a lot of it, the students don't want their mother or dad there. But, you know, we don't have as much parent involvement as far as coming in to help in the classroom, but our PTA makes sure that every classroom is represented with a parent, and we really appreciate this, and we appreciate all they do to support us. Start every day with a work of wisdom. I mentioned this last year, but it's a character building program. It's a prepared program. We read a written message, and we go on a weekly team, and then after I read the words of wisdom, teachers take just a couple minutes in the classroom to talk about the things that we read. And so I think it's a good program. There's a lot of good messages that we read. And it has been very beneficial. And that's basically all I want to talk about.
Thank you. We appreciate the work you do in this school. It's evident that the teachers work hard, the students are progressing, and we appreciate your staff and the things that they do. You pass that on to them. Thank you.
I just one comment about the ELL Family Literacy Center. The plan that I sent you this last week is correct.
It is?
Yeah, the one week that I sent you a couple of days ago, that's the one we're going to.
Okay. Okay, any public comments that we don't need to go into executive or closed meeting for? Okay, then a motion is in order for to go into closed meeting.
For
personnel item.
Okay.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Who made the motion on that?
Sam did.
Sam? Okay.
We did. We're in close meeting. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, there's somebody.
When are you going to begin helping get in there? We need to put that in there.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, since we're back in the general session of board meeting, it's my recommendation as superintendent that our elementary secretaries be placed on full-time 8-hour contracts. Their contract period would still remain the same, which is the 9 months of school plus 3 weeks in the summer, but they would be 8 hours a day with all of the benefits that go with that.
and that would be effective beginning September 1st. So it would be retroactive 2 days today.
I would make that motion.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Good deal.
Okay, I think we need a motion to adjourn.
I would make a motion that we adjourn.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Good.
There is. Oh, shut this off.
No, I've got to tell you this.